ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Thursday.
Rugby League is on your radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
Michael Carayannis, I love Thursdays Hammer Time, although normally you've got two young daughters to deal with and Max the dog and a dodgy Thursday night phone. Don't you dare say Clara. Clara's dealing with you, not the other way around. So here you are in the box, Thursday night MC's Hammer Time. What are you starting?
Well, you mentioned the Sharks. They've re-signed Will Kennedy for a further 12 months. So it's been interesting for Will Kennedy. He's gone year by year on his deals. And I think probably this year he's probably been his most consistent season as well. But Will Kennedy done for another 12 months at the Sharks from next season.
So interesting, isn't it? We're going through elite young fullbacks on Sundays. Pre-game show MC that you were part of. And on NRL Monday, did a whole list of elite fullbacks, the young ones and the more experienced ones. And Will Kennedy barely gets a look in if you go through 12 or 13 fullbacks.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. That's how great the fullbacks are.
And that's probably why he's on these one-year deals and why he hasn't been able to secure an opportunity elsewhere. He's one of the best value-for-money players in the competition because you get what you pay for in Will Kennedy every week, right? But he's not an elite fullback, and that's probably why he struggled. Well, that's why he hasn't been able to go elsewhere, because he ranks towards the bottom of that fullback list, and it's more of a reflection, as you said, of how good the fullbacks are rather than, Will Kennedy's ability.
He's a bit, in some ways, like Connor Tracy. When Connor has a great game, he looks amazing. And same with Will Kennedy. He's a difference maker. So how are the Sharks going in terms of re-signing players that they want to keep, because it became apparent several months ago that with so many players off contract, they weren't going to be able to keep most of them. So Will Kennedy re-signed, Sam Stonestreet re-signed a long-term deal, Jesse Ramien going to the Cowboys.
Yes. Hirotti going to the Gold Coast Titans.
Noni Hirotti off to the Gold Coast.
CSF Italakai going to the Bears.
Perth Bears.
Sione Katoa, the winger, going to North Queensland as well.
Yep.
So they've lost a lot. Cam McInnes going to
UK.
York.
Yeah.
The York Knights, I think they're called in England. So, they've lost a few. They've signed a guy called Oren Trout from the Super League as their only addition so far for next season. They're looking at Jake Avarello, who's signed that four-year deal with the West Tigers from next season. So they're in the market definitely for an outside back.
All right, what else?
Speaking of outside backs, Moses Suli's been told by the Dragons that he's free to move at the end of this season. He's contracted for another 12 months at the Dragons, but he becomes the first player that's been contracted, that's been told that he's free to leave. Obviously, there's been a stack of players at the Dragons who the club have indicated that they won't re-sign, and a few have already left in terms of Jaden Sua, Damian Cook, and Feagai for next season. So they're all gone for next year, and Moses Suli, the first player to be told who's contracted, that he's free to go if he can find an opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah, Saints, so interesting, Matty, and it's been a feel-good week for St George Illawarra, winning their first game in almost 300 days with a stunning win over Brisbane at Lang Park last Sunday. But you look at the players they have signed for next year, and Connor Watson becoming the most recent, albeit only for the 12-month deal. But with Scott Drinkwater and Keon Kolomatangi and Luke Metcalf, all of a sudden you think with, Hamish Stewart and Dylan Egan and the Couchman brothers, you think, geez, that could be a fair side next year.
Yeah, and it'll be a more competitive side next year. It's about those younger players, not the players coming in. Obviously, they're going to have to get some continuity through that new spine that they've got there and get used to playing with each other. But it's the NRL, Andrew, and there's a thing that we always talk about, the 50 to 75 game mark before you really... It wouldn't be an elite competition if you could come in and be a star player in... That's the exception rather than the rule, particularly with forwards. So they've got a little bit more development to go, but I couldn't agree more with them of rolling over that some of the players that they're looking to shift a lot as well.
And you mentioned Dylan Lucas, slip of the tongue there, but they just re-signed him for three seasons, and he is the Newcastle Knights. He's an elite player.
I had that down as a talking point, actually, that what he means to Newcastle, because he seems to mean every bit as much as any one of their, even Callan Ponga's. He's such an elite back rower that given a good run of fitness, you can easily see him playing State of Origin.
I know what you mean. He's not as influential as Callan Ponga, but at the moment he's having more influence on games than Dylan Brown for the Newcastle Knights. It's probably a fair assessment on and yeah, he will play Origin.
And what you get with a back row like that, you know, with the athleticism, the way that he can change his lines, he makes the fullback better. He makes the centre better. He makes the half that he's playing on the outside of better as well, because it just, it elevates their game unbelievably.
All right, and finally, Michael.
And a guy that's really rejuvenated his career, or revived his career, is Brandon Wakeham. He'll be playing here tonight. He's got a two-year deal on the table from Manly, and he's been really good for him so far this season.
It is one of the great pleasant surprises of this year, because not only has he been really good for Manly, in a position we're not used to seeing him play, mainly at dummy half, but he's been used in the middle, he's been used everywhere.
Yeah, he's done a real good job for him at dummy half. And, you know, obviously Cody Ramsay is the comeback story of the decade, you know, at the least. But Brandon Wakeham is a very, very good comeback story as well. We all thought his career was over, NRL career was over, hadn't played first grade since 2023, but has found his way back.
You are with Matthew Elliott, Michael Carrianis. I'm Andrew Moore. We do have the South Sydney CEO, Blake Solly, waiting down on the touchline with us with the headphones on. G'day, Blake. How are you going?
G'day, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, my pleasure. Sorry, I was getting carried away there in text messages. A few things to talk about. Jai Arrow, firstly, how's he doing?
Yeah, he's in Spain at the moment at a MND clinic, and from all reports, he's doing well. He's throwing himself into everything that they're recommending he does, his diet, breathing, hyperbaric chambers, all of that sort of stuff. So, like he attacked his football career, he's attacking this fight, and he's throwing everything he's got at it.
Which is exactly how he approached it publicly. I'm going to do anything it takes. Whatever trial, I'm there. I'm going to try and do it. He's got a one-year-old, of course, at home with his young wife. And clearly, when that announcement made, it was one of the more emotional things I can remember in rugby league. How has it been at the club since then?
Oh, I think it was a hugely emotional week when we announced that he'd got the diagnosis of MND. I think the players love him. He made a very heartfelt speech to them the next day. It was probably not something that everyone could repeat publicly. It was a bit more personal to the team, and there were both laughter and tears, but it sums up what sort of a fella Jai is, and I think everyone is there for him. It's a terribly sad situation, but they also want to do him proud every time they run out on the field now, and I think that'll carry us through the rest of this season. We want to make sure that Jai, even though he's not on the field, feels like he's a big part of the club, and what we do on the field recognises the way he in which attacked his career and played his footy.
That's the juxtaposition, Blake, because everyone loves Jai Arrow in this industry. Rugby league industry, us in the media, has always been wonderful with. So you want to give him every public support you can and help raise awareness, and we're going to get onto this possibility of July 12, his birthday bash at Stadium Australia. But you also want to respect privacy. He's dealing with this thing with his family, so it's an interesting one, but so far his attitude seems to be incredible. Where are you and the NRL at with this proposal for July 12?
Yeah, so first and foremost, we've got our game against the Broncos at Core Stadium next week, and we're going to ask every Rabbitohs fan and member to be there to celebrate his remarkable playing career, his contribution to our club, his contribution to the game generally. So next week's very much a celebration of what Jai achieved on the field. And then after that, we're really going to turn our attention to making sure that we're fundraising for Jai and Barina and Isla, and a big focal point of that will be our game against the Knights on the 12th of July. Peter Volandis came up with the idea of it being Jai's birthday and having the world's biggest birthday party, so we're scouring the Guinness Book of Records at the moment to make sure we can break that record. But it's going to be a big event, and I think over the next few weeks people are going to see more details about what we're going to do on the 12th, but we want to get as many people as we can in there at a Core Stadium. We want to raise as much money for Jai and Barina and Isla as we can, and raise awareness of this hideous disease and all of the people who are out there trying to fight it.
Blake, well done on everything that you're doing to support Jai. What else can people expect, I guess, outside of what's going to happen in July, but long-term for the club support for Jai?
Yeah, I think Peter at the NRL, everyone at our club from our ownership board and management team have made it very clear that we're going to be there for Jai every step of the way, and for Barina and Isla. We know that this disease is nasty in the way that it progresses and the way it takes away people's ability to live a normal life, and whatever treatment he wants to undertake, whatever pilot he wants to be involved in, and whatever support that he needs, or Barina or Island need, not only in the next few months and weeks, but in the next few years, the club and the NRL and the whole of the game will be there for him.
Blake, I certainly don't want to dilute the focus around what you're doing in the upcoming time, but I'd be really interested. Like, I've got the opportunity to do a lot of work with Mark Hughes, and obviously his foundation has not only served him, but I think they've earned over $30 million, you know, for cancer research. Is there something that we could actually build into this that gives a lasting legacy, you know, to Jai and what South Sydney are doing now?
It's remarkable. We spent some time with Mark Hughes in Newcastle when we played them about a month ago, and spoke to him about what he's done with the foundation and the extraordinary amount of money he's raised and how he raises it, and all of the things that that's done in terms of research into brain cancer. For us at the moment, it's very much about fundraising and making sure that Isla and Barina, particularly for the rest of their lives, and certainly Isla's childhood, that there's enough money to make sure that they can live as they would have lived when Jai was there, if Jai's there. And then the secondary part of that will be when we feel comfortable that that position's reached, it's about raising money, a little bit like Neil Danaher has, to try and put money into research, put money into understanding more about what is an awful disease and how we can prevent it or if not cure it.
And just extend around this topic, Blake. I just would be great for our listeners to understand what clubs actually do for past players as far as when they're in adversity. This is, I know this isn't a really acute example, but it's not a one-off.
Oh, it's not. We've got another one of our former greats at the moment facing a very challenging cancer diagnosis in Nathan Merritt. The club's raised about $200,000 already for Nathan. We had a wonderful fundraiser for him at South Juniors on Friday afternoon where we raised about another $80,000 for him. That's one of the great values that rugby league has. Maybe it's a sort of a hangover from our working class roots, but when a rugby league player or someone in the rugby league community is facing hard times, not only do their own club get around them, but every fan and every member and every person who's involved with the game, whatever club they support, wants to do the same thing and want to be around them. And the work that the Cowboys did to raise $50,000 for Jai 2 weeks ago from a standing start just shows that Manly are doing some wonderful things here tonight. Brisbane are going to really mark Jai's contribution to them as a player and raise money for him next Thursday. It's just amazing and almost overwhelming seeing what the rugby league community can do and how passionate they are about supporting another member of the community who's in need.
Yeah, we've got money being raised here at Brookvale Oval tonight for Jai and his family. Have you been blown away a little bit, Blake, by the response you're even getting from AFL quarters? Obviously, Neil Danaher lost his incredible battle a couple of weeks ago, but I keep reading snippets from AFL people talking about Jai Arrow in his case.
Yeah, clearly AFL was galvanised when Neil was diagnosed and all of the work that he did to raise money and the Big Freeze event. Andrew Dillon, their CEO, sits on the board of Fight MND, and ironically, I was at a breakfast with Andrew the day after we had to make the announcement on Jai, and they were so keen to support. They know what an awful disease it is, and they've been fighting hard for a long time to raise money to build awareness and fund research and try and make sure that as few people as possible ever have to live with a diagnosis like this, and when they do, hopefully make it not the death sentence that it is at the moment.
NRL Thursday here on ABC Sport as we look out to the middle of the ground here at Brookvale and see two legends, Mark Carroll and David Gillespie, two special guests here at the ground today as the hill fills and the crowd continues to do likewise. We're with South Sydney CEO Blake Solly. Is he the future NRL CEO? Blake, with Andrew Abdo stepping aside, what's doing there? Your name keeps cropping up.
Yeah, it certainly won't be me. I'm very happy at South Sydney. It's a wonderful club with great owners. Obviously, working with Wayne is great. He's just a great person to be working with and learning from in terms of about managing people and leading. No one knows more than him, so really enjoying that. And then there's so much work we do at the club off the field that makes a difference in the lives of people. What we're doing with Jai at the moment, every day that South Cares does its community work, so I've got no interest in leaving South. It's a wonderful place to work, and we've got a great team, and we want to continue doing great things.
Blake, you mentioned there Wayne Bennett, that he new deal that's been mooted for a couple of months now. Are you any closer on getting that done?
Wayne assures me that we'll get it done when Wayne wants to get it done, and to be fair to Wayne, he said he's not going anywhere. Obviously, we've got Payne joining us next year, and he's very happy at South Sydney. He loves the area. very excited about what we can do on the field both this year and in the future. He's really invested in the stuff that we're doing in our pathways and the young players coming through. So I don't think we'll have any trouble extending Wayne into the 28 season when Wayne feels it's time to sit down and have a conversation about it.
All in Wayne's time is probably the world that we live in at the moment. Blake, what about... I had a spirited debate with Brent Reed last night, and again this morning. He wants to pay Latrell Mitchell $1.4 million. Is Reedy all right or what?
Well, I had to pick our CFO up off the floor this morning. So I think he was a bit shocked. But Reedy assures me that he's working off the figures in the new salary cap. So I'll tell you what, if Reedy knows what the figures in the new salary cap are, I'm going to ask him for next week's lotto numbers, because I don't think anyone knows what the salary cap's going to be. But Reedy's obviously working out his calculations off a new figure. But look, Latrell's a wonderful player. And at the moment, our prime focus is on getting him back on the field and playing in the same form that he started the season. If he does that and he has a great end of the year and he's fit and he's well, I'm sure we'll be sitting down and talking about a contract extension. And we really want Latrell to make the decision for us. Be the best player you can be as fit as you can be coming into the final series. Take us a long way into September, and then everything else will take care of itself.
Blake, there's a reason Michael Chamis is so far the only journo to make it into the executive role of the footy club. And blokes like MC and Reedy spend their time on fantasy drafts. Blake Solly, great to catch up with you, mate. Thanks, and good luck with the continued support of Jai Arrow. Obviously, anything we can do, we'd be happy to help.
Yeah, and on behalf of Jai, I want to say thank you to the rugby league community and all of the journalists and the media that are being so good in promoting his cause. And we're in for a big 5 or 6 weeks with Jai, but I want to thank everyone out there who's reached out to the club and to Jai.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Blake. Blake Solly, CEO of South Sydney. Always very impressive when you speak to Blake about things. Ruling out for sure the opportunity. Oh, now Blake Solly's confronted by Brent Reed on the touchline. He's got a calculator with the Fed, ain't he? 0467920222 to send a text. But it is stirring for me, Matthew. As you said, it's not just something as dire as the Jai Arrow situation, but it is something that we learn more and more about, that the assistance the former players are getting as they just try to lead their best lives and dealing with a wide range of things. But you do get the feeling with Jai, this is going to be something for he and his family forever and a day.
Yes. Yeah, this is a challenge that, you know, doesn't go away. Mark Hughes is a really good analogy as well, because there's no cure for brain cancer. And, you know, Mark's fight in the last 15 years is pretty incredible, isn't it, when you think about, you know, not only that, what he's done for himself and his family, but what he's done for the whole Australian community that are in that area. So, yeah, there's a lot that rugby league can be proud of.
All right. You better get downstairs, Michael.
All right.
Thank you.
You said that, try and hide your enthusiasm, mate.
Michael Carrianis there, a man of... When he speaks, you listen. I think he's upset about the fantasy draft.
Is he?
John, I think so.
What is he?
Because he legit loves it. And also thinks that he could run a club. Well, he's still jealous of Chamis.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.